Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bible to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, starting with verse 3. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which are and have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Open our eyes of our understanding and ears of our heart that we might hear. And God, we'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It's not a very pretty sight, what we've just read. The Bible says the children of Israel, Jerusalem has been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar has, and his armies have leveled the city. The walls are completely destroyed. Back then, walls were important. They kept the enemy out. They kept the wild varmints out of the town. They kept people safe. Even in here, walls surround us. And we feel like we're closed in and we're protected in some way, form, or fashion. People think that walls will stop the invading army. In those days, it did. They stopped the army from entering in. But the walls in Jerusalem have been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar as he has invaded the country. And as Jerusalem, the beautiful city, has been completely torn down. And I ask myself, why is the city in such shambles? Why has this taken place? And over in your Bible, if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there and read. It says this, and the Lord God of their father sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people. It says here, God had compassion on his children and on the dwelling place. But you know what happened? They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of God arose against his people, and there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought against them the kings of the Chaldeans, who killed the young men with a sword in the house and leveled the city, because they forgot God, because they scoffed at his prophets, because they would not listen to the messages of God. He has sent Nebuchadnezzar and the kings and the Babylonians and literally destroyed the walls of the city and taken the children or the people into captivity. And they stayed there in the Babylonian Empire for 70 years. Man, it's a long time. Psalm 137, they said, listen to what it says. By the ruins of Babylon, we sit down, or by the rivers of Babylon, we sit down. And yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps in the willows there, and they required of us a song. They're in captivity. They're in distress. God has sent his judgment upon his people. They've been taken captive. They're in a strange land. And the people there say, now we want you to sit down and sing us a song. And they sit by the river with the harps in the bushes or the trees. And they said, how can we sing a song about Zion in a strange land? Their lips were silent. They couldn't speak. They couldn't tell about their beautiful land because it's now being destroyed. And they had despair in their lives when they remembered their beautiful city of Jerusalem. When they remembered how she was destroyed and how the walls have all come down. The people, the Bible says, were in great distress and they were in reproach from the enemy. These were God's people. God's people chosen to carry the missionary word to the whole world. But yet they didn't. They laughed at his prophets. They ridiculed them. A group of people that were to reveal the glory of God. Now they're in reproach and they're in distress. Now they're in captivity and their beautiful city is there. The walls have been torn down and everywhere around them are ruins. Reminds me today of our churches in America. Folks, why? For a long time, I believe our churches in America have been on a decline. Attendance across the nation has gone down from just a few. Man, look at the churches today that have dropped by the wayside. I was talking to a young man this week about churches and his church, and he says, you know, we started out with several hundred people, now we're down to 40. Oh, it's such a sad thing to see how God has taken the blessings from a church and put it out there and said, okay, you won't listen to me, so I'm taking away the glory of God. Man, it seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? Not to God. He took his children off to captivity for 70 years. Seems kind of difficult. Not to God. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What God wants is a people that will love him back, a people that will give their all to him. And yet, we find in our churches the very ones, God's people, the ones that should be giving to carry the missionary word around the world, we're now so self-centered, we're so self-consumed in our own churches that we will not give to help the cause of the word of the gospel to go forth. And God, little by little, is choking us to death. He's getting us where, you know what? In a few years, they may not be a such thing as a church in America. You say, how could that happen, preacher? Well, it happened in Europe. It's happened across the world, and it's happening. You go to Europe, and you look at some of the finest cathedrals there, and they may have 12 people in them. What has happened? The glory of God has departed. It can happen here. It can happen in our churches today. The walls are down, folks. All around. People just don't have time for God anymore. You say, well, that's an awful situation to be in. It is. I was just told not long back that more and more churches, are you mean you tell me that y'all are still having Wednesday night prayer service? Well, we dropped that a long time ago. I thought, man, you said that in such a way that you thought it was a burden on you to come Wednesday night. And yet I find more and more people say, well, preacher, I just can't go three times a week to worship God. I've got other things I've got to do. Why don't we have service on Wednesday night, Sunday night? Preacher, there's a lot of things we get tied up in. Our children have got ball games, and more ball games are on Sunday. Oh, it hurts my heart. I know it hurts God's heart to look at his children and say, oh, they have all kinds of things that they have time for, but not me. And I love them. He loved his children, and yet the Bible says the walls are down and they're taken up to captivity. I wonder if our walls in our lives are down. The walls in our churches are down, but what about you? Are the walls in your life down? You know, God gave us eternal life that we might have life more abundantly. But I find more and more people that used to go to church, some little trouble has come along their way and they have quit coming to church. The walls are down. Their lives are in reproach. They're in despair. They're troubled. Just as Babylon destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, so Satan has knocked the walls of our lives down as well as the churches down. In this passage of Scripture, God says that our lives are like walls. Walls that were once strong. Let me tell you something. Back in the 60s and 70s, I know I don't look that old, but I was going to conferences in Dallas and Los Angeles and the Southern Baptist Convention, and we were having thousands, 20,000 people strong going to these conventions and conferences and hearing reports about churches and how they were growing, how many baptisms we had, hundreds of thousands of baptisms. But now they're gone. And we're lucky today to have 100,000 baptisms. You see, the walls have fallen in our churches, and we've come from 20,000 to, if you can get 5,000 at a conference today of churches united together, you've done well. For many of us, in our own lives, the walls are down. They've been destroyed. And there's two ways the walls of our lives are destroyed. And let me share them with you today. Maybe you're here today. I just prayed all week long, God, you know who needs to be here. You know the walls in people's lives better than I do. You know how they have forsaken your word. You know how lives have changed. And the first way the wall will be destroyed is simply through neglect. Neglect. What do you mean by neglect, preacher? Well, let me tell you something. This is a beautiful building. I remember when it was built in 1994, this building was built, and boy, I tell you what, you could walk in and it just looked so nice and new. And today I know it's, we try to keep it up the best we can and do the best we can at keeping it nice and pretty. But you know what? If you neglect things, it begins to fall apart, doesn't it? I noticed where houses that were once real pretty and somebody lived in them, they've died and they've gone, and those houses sat empty for a while. The spiders move in and the nests are built, and the rats move in and the nests are built, and the first thing you know, that beautiful house has become a home for the varmints. and it's beginning to fall apart, and little things are not replaced. Nobody really destroyed it. It just was neglected. Let me tell you something. Our lives are neglected too. When we neglect in our lives, there's personal things in our lives like Bible study. The walls come down. Bible study is, you know, today we don't call it Sunday school anymore. People don't like it. Sound like little kids going somewhere, they told me, and I thought, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm like a little child anyhow. But we call it Bible study today. It seems to be more for adults. But Bible study, the time for Sunday school, is being neglected all across the South today. And churches that used to have hundreds in Bible study every Sunday morning, God told me just the other day, it's dropped down to about 40. And I said, man, people have neglected the study of God's Word. And when you neglect the study of God's Word, guess what? Despair comes to your life. The old devil comes and joins you in that despair and starts telling you how bad things are in your life. And you begin to feel sorry for yourself. And the first thing you know, you start blaming God, because after all, you're God's child. And you know, you say, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Look what's happened in my life. Instead of blaming the devil, we blame God. And the first thing you know, we're out of church, we're falling apart, our lives are in shambles, and we don't know what's wrong. And it's simply because we have neglected the study of God's Word. The Bible says, do not neglect assembling of yourselves together. The Bible says we need one another in fellowship on Sunday morning to study the Word, so when the devil comes with the fiery darts in our lives, we can be strong and have a strong heart. But yet we neglect the study of God's Word, and we've lost interest in the Word of God. Oh, today it's harder and harder to get someone to come and sit under a Bible study class and listen. I thank God for Brother Jay and the Bible study he has on Tuesday. I thank God that even through the week we've got some Bible study. And if you're interested, you can come. I pray that you'll be interested. Man, we neglect that. And no wonder the walls have come down in our lives. And then prayer. Prayer is something that we neglect very easily. Unless we want something, most of the time we just say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. And instead of praising God for the things he's already given you. You see, the average church member only prays 3 minutes a day. Isn't that sad? That we'll watch television for hours upon hours and only pray 3 minutes a day. No wonder our lives are falling apart. Church attendance. Man, if that's neglected. Let me tell you something. We have a good crowd here today. I appreciate you coming. I know God appreciates you coming, giving him time to fill your lives. You know what coming to church is like? You know, I run down. Believe it or not, I do run down. But it's like coming and getting a charge of electricity to a battery. You know, my old body needs charging. It needs charging every day. And man, I just kind of have to wait on Sunday morning to get up and go to church to hear God speak to my heart. Man, let me tell you something. He speaks to me every single day, and he's always telling me what I'm doing wrong, and I'm trying to correct it, but I need charging. And I know you are the same way, but if we neglect our church attendance, we neglect our Bible study, we neglect our prayer, the first thing you know, the walls have come down in our life. Is that your life today? What's bothering you today in your life? The walls are down. You say, well, preacher, how can I be happy? How can I sing a song? Well, the Bible says, He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe that with all my heart. So listen, no matter what's going on in your life, you ought to have joy. You ought to be praising God for it. Say, Lord, I don't know what's happening in my life, but I'm trusting you. Because the Word of God, see, you got to know the Word of God. He says, hide the Word of God in your heart. He says that all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to His Word. I know that even through the troubled times in my life, that God is working things out for my good and for His glory. Even if He's got me in a hospital bed, even if He's got me in a funeral home, God is working things out for my good and His glory. Amen. And if you don't have that hid word hid in your heart, listen, the old devil will come along, and the first thing you know, you'll be out of church because the walls are down and the devil can come right on in. The fiery darts can penetrate your life. And then we neglect giving God the praise. Oh, we want to always give ourselves a pat on the back, but it's God who deserves the praise. We only really worship when we come here and glorify God and praise God. Let Him be honored, not our lives. And you know, we forget to give God the praise, and then a lot of times we don't give God His tithe. Now, I don't preach on tithing much, but let me tell you something. If you'll open up your heart and you'll open up your pocketbook and you give what God tells you to give, you won't have any problem. Some guy told me one time, well, I don't like that church up there. You know, y'all take up too many offerings. I said, I didn't ask you to give. Only God does that. I always tell you to pray. And you give what God has led you to give. And if you don't feel like God is leading you to give something, don't give it. But let me tell you something, don't steal from Him either. You see, some people steal from God every Sunday by not tithing or by not giving what God has blessed you with. What if He didn't give you nothing all week? What if you laid in the hospital bed and you couldn't work? What if your family was starving to death because He didn't give you food to eat? Yeah. When you think about it that way, you do have to give, don't you? Man, God just says tithing. Financial contributions have dropped. Man, I was telling you a while ago, Lottie Moon Christmas offerings have gone from thousands. My son told me the other day that they were going to have to quit giving to the programs of helping the journeymen on their mission trips. They used to, through our convention, they'd pay journeymen's for the gas and for the time to go overseas. That's a young person that's going to be a missionary. They go over there for 2 years and give their life for 2 years as a journeyman or apprentice to learn how to witness and to tell people about Jesus Christ, kind of getting their feet on the ground as missions. He was one of the fortunate ones that was able to go for 2 years. Now he's over there for a lifetime. But he was able to go and minister to people, and they helped him. Our convention helped him with the finances. But he told me the other day they're having to cut that out. Now each summer missionary or missionary journeyman was going to have to raise $15,000 of their own money so they could go. $30,000 for a young man, his wife, to go. And that's every year. And why? Because our churches have quit giving to missions. Man, oh, we still have enough to help full-time missionaries, but that's also dwindling. When you think of Lottie Moon, when you think of this mission next week, you think about how God has blessed you, how God has blessed you and your husband and your wife and your family and your children, how God has blessed you by letting them be able to go to school and get an education and work right here in America. You think about that. And you give according to how God has blessed you. I think we'll give more than a dollar, won't we? Witnessing, man, how in the world? I know people have said, you know, I used to go knock on doors, preacher. Man, I was excited about. I said, that's the problem. You were excited. Why aren't you still excited? It ought to be a privilege to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But witnessing has fallen short. Oh, I can't share my testimony. I just don't have much of a testimony. Man, if you've been saved, you've got a testimony. You tell somebody what Jesus Christ did in your life. You tell somebody about what he's doing and helping others. All of these things let the walls down in our lives as well as our churches. And folks, we need to get back to doing what God has told us to do. Now let me tell you what God has told us to do, and then I'll close. Y'all believe that? I'm fixing to tell you anyhow. We have five functions as a church that we need to do. One of them is to worship God. We need to worship God. Listen, Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship him and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." The Bible tells us in John to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to get back to worshiping God, folks. We need to get back to just praising him. We don't need to come in here and think about what we're going to do next week. We don't need to come in here and think about where we're going to eat lunch today. We need to come in here to worship God. Man, it doesn't matter to me what songs they sing. I'm going to be praising God in my heart. I don't really listen to the music that much anyhow. I just listen to the words. Man, I got so excited when they sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." Rhonda, you did a superb job of that girl. Ooh, that girl can sing sometimes. She got some soul in her. Man, I just love it. I get excited when I come to church because I come to worship God. And folks, that's what we're here for, to give God the hand, give God the blessing. And we're to witness as a church. Matthew tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Man, tell others about Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do in our life as a function of a church. We're to witness about Jesus Christ. We're to worship Jesus Christ. And we talked about it this morning. We're to educate. Educate. How can you educate if you're not going to come? But you know what? You need your education in the Bible. You need to equip yourself so that you know how to share Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says. Man, on Wednesday night, I get up here and I try to give you an overview of Genesis now, just so you'll know what the Bible says in the books. And yet, many of you don't even come. Many of you are not even interested. You've let the wall down. You've let the wall down. Minister. That's what we're to do at a church. I guess you thought I was supposed to do all of that. No. You're, like Brother Perry said this morning, you're a saint. You ought to be ministering to others, teaching others, helping others, showing others. Man, people in need all out there. We've got so many ministries going on and so few people. Sometimes I know how Jesus felt when he looked and he said, "Behold, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few." Oh, it's so good to have so many working in a church. But you know what? When the average church, 20% of the people do all the work and 80% of the people just come on Sunday morning, those 20% get burned out pretty quick. And oh, it'd be nice to say, you know what? All right, you've served well. Why don't you train somebody else to help you in that area? And I'd have volunteers saying, "Oh, preacher, we'll do that. We'll work that area. We'll work in that area. Don't worry about it. Take over. We will minister to others." And then fellowship. Man, we know how to do that, don't we? But fellowship, man, it describes a bond that joins people together. Beloved, when we neglect these five areas, in our life, in our church, the walls come tumbling down. Is that characteristic in your life right now? You've neglected the worship of God. You've neglected the witnessing, the fellowship, and the ministering. If so, the walls are down. The second way that the walls come down is through the attacks of the enemy. In Nehemiah's time, the armies had devised all kinds of ways. When we was in Israel this past few years ago now, man, time flies by. Masada is a high mountain, and they built up on top of that mountain a fortress, a place where they could live. The Romans came, and the enemies came to destroy. And we were up on the mountain looking down, and I mean, it's way down there. It looks like a half mile. And I wondered, how in the world could they get there? Well, they didn't have nothing to do. So the armies just camped out, and they showed where the armies of the Roman armies camped out, and they just built. They kept piling up dirt and piling up dirt and piling up dirt till they got to the top, and they walked right in. Folks, when we let the walls down in our life, the old devil will be chipping away at your foundation. He'll be building dirt up to get in your foundation, and one day he's going to walk right into your life, and he's going to ruin your testimony. A young man said, "Oh, preacher, I didn't really mean to run around on my wife, but I just got careless. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time." He let the walls down. It didn't happen overnight. It was just the devil chipping away a little bit at a time at his marriage until he got through. You say, "Well, that won't happen to me." It will if the walls are down. That's what Satan does. Maybe it's through a temptation. Maybe it's through some conflict. Maybe it's through some persecution. But lives are destroyed every day, literally, because the devil has come in and defeated their lives simply because they have neglected their worship of God. They have neglected the Bible study, the prayer life. They just neglected God. And the first thing you know, the walls are down. You can't fight the devil on your own, folks. He's a strong adversary. I know. He's always fighting against families. He wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy anything that God is using. You try to fight him on your own, and you're going to fail. Listen to what Ephesians 6:10 says. Jesus says, "Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world." Now, what is he talking about? Well, when you as a Christian become a Christian, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he fills you with his Spirit. He seals you. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Greater is he, God himself. Greater is God himself in us than he that's in the world. And folks, if you will let the Holy Spirit take control of your life, if you will give your life to God, if you will read your Bible, if you will study the Word, if you'll come to Bible study, if you will witness and worship for God, if you will give to God, you'll be strong. That's the only way that you could overcome the devil. through the power of the Holy Spirit of God in us. That's the only way as a church we can do what God wants us to do. That's the only way as a believer we can have the abundant life, is let God take control of our lives. And there's no reason that we can't love one another. There's no reason for you to be in despair this morning. If you're saved, you ought to be on shouting ground. You ought to be saying, hallelujah, praise God, for greater is God in me than the devil in the world. Amen. Man, don't you believe that? But there's some of you today that are sitting there and you can't say that you're a Christian. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You're on the way to a devil's hell, and there's no hope for your life except Jesus Christ. And you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, let me tell you something. It's true. The Bible says it. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. God is greater. God loves you. God wants you to be saved today. If you die without Christ, it's because you chose to do that. Man, I tell you what, I wouldn't leave this place if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I'd come to Him and I'd get on my knees before Him and I'd say, God, help me, a sinner. Forgive me. And you know, the Bible says if we come and we ask Him to forgive us, He will forgive us and cleanse us and seal us with His Spirit. And then you can say, greater is He that's within me. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get involved in the church. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to hide its words in my heart. But you got to do that. You got to come to Him. He's talking to the Christians here. These are God's children here. And maybe you're like the children. You're a born-again believer. You're saved. You're here this morning. And your walls are down and your life is in shambles. You've been taken captive by the devil. Maybe it's because of neglect, or maybe it's because you've been trying to fight the devil on your own. But let me tell you something. Just as Nehemiah was released to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit wants to get in your life and get busy in your life and rebuild your life and strengthen your life. But if you let the enemy, he'll continue to destroy you. You'll fall out of church further and further away from God until you're out there somewhere in the world and you're being trampled on by the world, you're being in captivity, and you'll be singing, how can we sing a song in a strange land? If you will begin to rebuild today, if you're willing to come to God today and get on your knees before God at this altar and say, Lord, I know the walls have come down in my life, but today I want to start rebuilding them. And I ask that your Holy Spirit just fill my heart and let me get into your word and let me get into prayer life and let the Holy Spirit start working in my life to rebuild the walls. He'll start. Let me tell you something. When He starts rebuilding, the devil will try to knock the props down. But hang in there and remember that scripture. Greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. Are you willing to let God take control of your life and rebuild the walls in your life? Are we willing as a church to let God really have first place and take control and rebuild some walls in this church? It starts with revival in your heart and my heart. That's what God says. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Are you willing? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Lord, rebuild the walls. Start right here in my life. Lord, and move out across this congregation to where we're willing to let you take control and have your way in our life. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to make a decision, Lord, let them come. Don't let the devil win the battle. Let them come. And God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.